Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
I've got a word from the book of Psalms tonight. We're going to read it in just a moment. You can go ahead and turn there. Psalm 56. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture in just a moment. It's a verse of Scripture that has fascinated me for some time, and I just am a little bit blown away by this one Scripture, and we'll read it in just a second. But first, I want to set it up by telling you something that happened to me when I was 12. When I was 12, my dad, John Davis, who was the mentor to Chuck Norris and MacGyver, had this brilliant idea. He's probably on right now. Dad, they're trying to catch up with you, but it's going to be hard. He had this brilliant idea that he was going to take us camping. We're going to do a quick trip down to Galveston Island, and we're going to camp on the beach, hang out at the beach for a couple of days, and then drive back. Well, it's a 12-hour drive. At this particular time frame, 65 miles an hour was not heard of. Okay, it's kind of normal for us, right? So, you know, it cost a little extra time to get there. And so from where we lived in central Oklahoma, it was 500 miles to get there. So my dad has this brilliant idea. Hey, let's go camping at Galveston. So we put way too much stuff in the car. The car is fully loaded with stuff and people, in so much that you're like sitting like this with your hands up on sleeping bags and, you know, coolers of food and whatever. And you're kind of miserable riding all the way down there. Well, we arrived somewhere around midnight. It's dark. We pull up on the beach in his little car, and it's dark, and so all we have is his headlights. We get out of the car, and the wind is going crazy. There's sand blowing everywhere. So, you know, my 12-year-oldness just wanted to get back in the car, right? No, not John Davis. We will conquer everything. Get the tents out. We're setting the tents up. Crazy wind. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You got crazy wind. You're out trying to do stuff in it. So we get the tent out, and then we're digging other things out that we didn't really need, but there they are in the car in case we need them. And lo and behold, we find out we don't have any poles for the tent. We left them at home. Have you ever gotten in trouble by forgetting something? Maybe a significant date. Don't forget Father's Day. It's this Sunday. Hopefully you didn't forget Mother's Day. It was not too long ago. Have you ever gotten in trouble by forgetting where you put your keys or your wallet or your small children? We've all got stories. So what did we do on the beach? Well, we found a roll of tape, and we taped the tent to the car. And then we, well, first of all, he drove over the corner of the tent to hold it in place, and then we used electrical tape and taped it to portions of the car. That was our camping trip. Still alive. We made it. In a survey that you could do yourself, you will find 100% of people forget, including us. And I want to talk for just a moment about this incredible phenomenon that we have. You and I are made in God's image. And we think about that. What does that really mean? And how are we different than dogs or trees or whatever else? And We have the capacity to see beauty. We have the capacity to express love and receive love. And we have the capacity of justice. Okay, animals and other things in creation don't have that, but we do. But there's something else that we share with God that maybe you never thought about. It's writing. Have you ever wondered, why do we write things down? Well, we write things down a lot of times to remember, to pass things on. To pass things on either to our children or to generations after us. It's so significant that you and I can read. We know what little symbols look like, and we can write to one another. That is fascinating to me. Nothing else in creation does that. It's because we're made in the image of a God who remembers and records. And we're made in His image, and so it's important to us. There's something in us that's important to write things down. It's born into us, not just so we don't forget to put the poles in the car, but so that other things, which I'm going to get to, can be remembered. And I want you to just hear me before we read this scripture. You are made in the image of a God who remembers. He's given you a capacity to remember that's not like anything else in creation. Yes, other creatures communicate. Other creatures remember. Other creatures leave scent trails and remember where they left their scents. And they have mating calls and they remember where they were when they ate something. Yes, creation does that. But you're very different than that. Because there's something in you that is beyond just survival. And writing and recording is linked to it. Because we serve a God who we reflect. And that facet of our life is straight a reflection of God. And I want to present to you tonight, in the next half an hour, how amazing you are, and why is it God would care to write down what you did and make a record of it? Why is that? Why would it be so important to Him? It's the God who remembers. We're going to read one scripture together to just kind of kick off this thought line that is so encouraging. I want to encourage you. Psalm 56, verse 8. David had been captured by the Philistines, and he's in Gath, and he writes this, and he says, "Record my lament." Verse 8. I'm reading from the old NIV version here. The new NIV version is a little bit different. It says, "Record my lament, list my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record?" Let's pray. Father, come speak to us today. A profound word that drops inside us the significance of why you write things down. In Jesus' name, amen. What a bizarre word for a Wednesday night, Holy Ghost night. But I'm convinced that the Lord wants this communicated today. Throughout the Word, we read Old Testament and New Testament that there are books and scrolls in heaven. The first account of it is Moses and the Lord having a conversation in Exodus 32. Twice Moses and God are speaking about a book in heaven with names in it. Where did Moses come up with that idea? That's interesting. David writes in Psalm 139:16. Take a look at this verse. "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Fascinating. What book is that? That's more than just names. It must be something else. And who's writing that? Daniel 7 and 10 and 12 mention various books in heaven. I don't know if I gave the media team this scripture, but take a look at Psalm 87. Turn in your Bible, Psalm 87. Verse 3, glorious things are said of you, O city of God. I will record Rahab and Babylon among those who acknowledge me. Jump down to verse 6. The Lord will write in the register of the peoples. This one was born in Zion. What is that? Let's keep going. The book of life. Maybe you've heard about the Lamb's book of life. It is mentioned in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Psalm 69. In Philippians 4. And then throughout the book of Revelation, it is a most important book. Because if your name is in it, we'll get to that in a minute, but if your name is in it, or not in it, is such a pivotal moment for you when time has ended and you're no longer here. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah all mention scrolls and books. Two of those guys have visions of scrolls flying. Malachi 3:16. Take a look at this scripture verse. Malachi 3:16. It should be up on the screen here. Take a look at this. It's at towards the end of Malachi. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. What is the scroll of remembrance? And then, of course, throughout Revelation, there's lots and lots of scrolls. I head up our administration team here. It's because of the way my brain works. And I think of questions because of the way my brain works. And I want you to ask yourself these questions as we're looking at just these few verses here. Who's doing all this writing? How many books are there? Is there a book for each person? How many books is that? And who's writing those? How many pages are they? Are there volumes? Is it just one big book? Or is it part one, part two, part three? There are 6 or 7 billion people on the planet today. Is there a book for each one? Where are they keeping them? Is there a library? What's the categorization of the library? How do they know who to pull out? Is someone at all times writing how many times you snored last night? Your spouse knows, but somehow they know in heaven. What are these books made out of? Are they made out of some kind of parchment or paper? These are the questions that when I read this one scripture, I get flooded with all these questions here. So if there's books being written, does that mean there's stacks and stacks of blank ones for people that haven't yet filled any? How many of those are there? And where are those? Is someone making them? Is there a process of people making blank books? This is significant to what I believe the Lord wants to say to you. See, when I think how would I do this? Which, of course, in my limited thinking, I would set up some sort of process and an administration of recording and writing and storing. Revelation 20, in just a moment we'll take a look at it, mentions judgment. At the end of all time, there's a judgment day. And books are going to be opened, and people are going to be judged by what's written in that book. It's a little frightening. I hope you're still with me. This is a little bit abstract, but the reality is, yes, someone is writing. Yes, there are multiple books. Yes, there's a book with your name on it. Yes, your life is written down on it. Yes, there is an administration in heaven that has everything to do with books about us, because we serve a God who remembers. Be encouraged tonight. You serve a God who remembers you. When we look at how we think, we can recognize we are made in the image of a God who thinks similar. See, you and I think of structures. When I presented the writing and who's writing these books, well, there must be teams of people. What is they writing with? Are they writing with a pen? Or are they writing with a quill? What are they writing with? Okay, where are those? Are there extras? What does somebody do when their book is full and they need another one? Does new pages just appear? Like the woman with the oil in their jars that never ran out? Do pages just, poof, there's a new page? That's a great question. But we think of these things because you and I can think structurally. We go to work, there's a boss. We work for someone. We have hours that we report. There's other workers, and everybody has their assignments. You and I think this way. In fact, we feel safe and secure when we understand the structures around us. Are there structures in heaven? Absolutely, because you and I understand structures. We're made in the image of one who created us that way. It's not something that we just dreamed up on our own. We were given the capacity to think of structures to live in. I've probably shot way over the top of your head, but I want you to understand something very simple coming up soon. We can be encouraged by just the thought process that someone is writing down what I'm doing, saying, thinking, being. Why would that be so encouraging? Because God sees you as so treasured. He's not writing down what your dog's doing, but he's writing down what you're doing. He wants to reward you. So he's carefully etching out your life so that you can stand before him and go say, let's go see how much reward you got. You're so treasured. You're so valuable. You are, with all your issues. You probably don't have as many of mine. Just don't get in front of me at the coffee line. All my issues come out. Even me with all of my coffee and chocolate issues. God's writing down what I'm doing. I am, and you are, so valuable to him that he would care to write down your life and to set up an administration of people, of whoever's writing them down. There's a team of people carefully watching and listening and recording because you're so valuable to him that he would create this because he sees you different than you do. You don't see your value like he does. He sees it so, he sees you so valuable, he wants to record every little thing that you've done and will do. We serve a God who remembers. I want to give you a couple of references here about the God who remembers. In Genesis 8, the world had been destroyed in a flood, but God remembered Noah and his family. Doesn't mean he forgot about them and then all of a sudden he was like, oh, Noah! You know, that's how we sometimes would think of that. That God just absentmindedly thought no one's left. Ah, Noah! No, that's not what that means. It means he kept him in mind. He kept him in mind. When you go take a test when you were in school, it was, what are you keeping in your mind? Can you answer some questions about what you have kept in your mind? For most of us, it was, I forgot all this. Oh, now I remember. No, it's different. God keeps it in mind. He doesn't forget. He doesn't forget. Genesis 9, Noah comes out of the boat and God puts a rainbow in the sky and says to Noah, when I see the rainbow, I will remember. I will what? Remember the covenant I'm making with the earth and all the living creatures. In Genesis 19, God remembers Abraham. In Genesis 30, there was a woman named Rachel who couldn't have children, but God remembered her and enabled her to have children. The same thing with Hannah, who gave birth to Samuel. The God who remembers. We wrote down, we read earlier, could you bring it back up again? Malachi 3:16. There's all these people that love God talking about things. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other. The Lord listened and heard, and in front of him, he wrote their names down. Those who feared the Lord and honored his name. He remembers. You have not been forgotten. It might feel like it. It might seem like it. If you live only by what you see, you'll be convinced that you've been forgotten by God. But when we look at his word, you can realize you're so significant. He will keep you on his mind like he did Noah and Abraham. Kept them on his mind. In the midst of catastrophe and evil, God remembers Abraham. Not he forgot about them and then suddenly he remembered, kept them in his mind. That's you too. He remembers you. Hebrews 6:10. Do we have that one? Can we bring that up? This is one of my favorite scriptures. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. He's not going to remember, he's not going to forget your sacrifice of labor and love for him. It's not going to escape him. You might feel like God didn't see you or God somehow didn't remember what you did for him. I'm here tonight to tell you he does and he will remember what you have done for him. He remembers. You have not been forgotten. Your praying will be remembered. Your giving, your generosity to people will be remembered. Sunday night, I did a short teaching in the realm of giving, and tithe, and returning. And I read from Acts 10. It's a story of Cornelius. And in this very interesting story, the angel appears to Cornelius and says to him, your praying and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial. You know what a memorial is? Something to remember before God. His praying, his giving. Your obeying God will be remembered. Your sowing will be remembered. There's so many of you and me, myself, that have sowed and sowed and sowed, and you're waiting for some reaping. It's coming. He hasn't forgotten what you've sowed. Your gestures, your kindness, your love to people that didn't deserve it. It's going to be remembered. It is remembered. Be encouraged. You're so significant that he would remember when you forgave someone who didn't deserve to be forgiven. When you generously gave someone something that you actually wanted for yourself, but you gave it to them, it's going to be remembered. Not only remembered, but rewarded. I want you to look at a few scriptures here. Now, I don't know if I gave it to the media team, but as you read, and I've got a few minutes left here, as you read through Matthew 5, 6, and 7, one of the things you have to see about God, you must see this. Sometimes we get the wrong picture of who God is. Let me give you an illustration. The shirt I happen to have on, it's my favorite shirt. It cost me a little more than probably what should have been paid for a shirt. But I picked it out on purpose. Number one, I like corduroy. Number two, I like the color brown. So I bought this shirt. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Brown. Just go with me, brown. Can you just say it with me, please? Brown. Okay. Just look at the person next to you and say, it's a brown shirt. I was at a particular store in the lower 48. I looked up. There it was, glowing on the wall. Yes. Look at that brown corduroy shirt. So I bought it. I brought it home. I wore it. So proud, did not realize that I was wearing the wrong colors with it. And one of my sons, thank God, one of my sons says, Dad, you're wearing your green shirt again. What? I mean, I probably wore it a dozen times and nobody said anything to me that it didn't match. For those of you that are very confused, this is not a brown shirt. I just want to make that clear. Somebody else had to tell me because I was very confused. My eyes don't see all the right colors. And I have some challenges with colors, especially when they're really close. So I needed some clarification as to what color this shirt was, but I didn't know that. And I made a decision based on thinking this was a brown shirt. Thank you, Elian Wren Davis, for finally telling me it was green. It still doesn't look green to me, but I'm taking his word for it. Is it green?
Yes. Ugh.
It looks so brown to me, you just have no idea. Well, sometimes we get really confused about how to see God. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 clearly tells us, clearly, no matter what you experience, your feelings are, or what your mind tells you is real, God is a rewarder. God is a rewarder. In fact, he wants to reward you so much. Jesus would say, stop doing your praying and fasting and giving for everyone to clap for you because he's got something better than applause. Jesus would say that because he wants to give you something better than a pat on the back. And he wants you to catch it. God's a rewarder. God not only remembers your whole life, he wants to find the rewardable things in there. Let's go through your book. Oh, there's one. Oh, look at all these. Oh, look at this one. Oh, look at this one. You served right here. Look at this. You witnessed to someone about, you told somebody how good I am. I mean, he's just itching to reward you. Because that's who he is. And he's having someone write it down so that it's not forgotten. You are so, so treasured. Mark 10:29. Jesus replied, "No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions," how exciting, "and in the age to come." Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, even a cup of cold water, something seemingly so insignificant, will be rewarded. Matthew 10 says, no, take a look real quick. Turn to Matthew 10. I didn't have this on the media list, but we're going to look at it. Matthew 10. "Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet," verse 41, "will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he's my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward." Something so simple, so basic, handing someone a cup of water, you don't reward anyone for that, but God does. And someone is writing down when you did something for him, and he's going to reward you. What is God saying to us? Well, before we get to that, I want to address, there are things we don't want God to remember. Anyone? Anyone? Every person. There are things. What am I supposed to do? Pastor Kirsten, yikes, God wrote down everything. There's some things I want deleted. Erased. Is there an erasing administration? Is there some whiteout? The answer is yes. I have good news for you. Not only do we serve a God who remembers, we serve a God who forgets. Things that you don't want brought up in front of all heaven, shame, it's going to be forgotten. How does that work? How can he be the God who remembers and the God who forgets? Oh, take your Bible. Please turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. In Hebrews chapter 8, we are given the description which mirrors Jeremiah 31, that you and I can belong to a new covenant that is better than the old. As you heard our beloved speaker Sunday night, the book of Hebrews is about a better priest, better covenant, better promises. And here in chapter 8, I want to read it to you. For if there was nothing wrong, verse 7, with the first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant. And I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest." Verse 12, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." You and I can live in a covenant with God where you can confess your sin to Him, repent, and He will not remember it. You can have deleted things in your book. I don't know what that looks like. I'm just using our own language to describe it, because I don't know how the books are written. Maybe somebody's typing. I don't know. But the God who remembers and wants to reward you will also forget the things that you confess to Him and repent of, and will not hold them against you. I have so many things that I don't want read out loud, and I have repented, and I've asked Jesus, "Oh my, please forgive me. I did it wrong." Turns the pencil over. Erase. I will remember them no more. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a promise you and I can live in. I don't have to have all the embarrassing, sinful things I did put right in my face and say, "What's this about?" And neither do you. You can make a decision tonight to enter into a relationship with the Father and His Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, to where you can ask God to erase all those embarrassing things, and He won't remember them. He won't remember them? I don't get it. I don't know how that works. When Jesus came to this earth and lived a sinless life and died on the cross to take our place, didn't stay dead, but rose from the dead, He enabled us to have all the horrible things deleted and erased and blotted out of our life. That's not even out of our book. It's not even a word we use anymore, blot. What does that mean? Well, one of the definitions is made invisible. It's not, I can't see it. That's one of the definitions of blot out. Many times David's prayer in the Psalms is, "Oh God, blot out my transgressions. Make them go away." So what's God saying to us? First of all, be encouraged. You are not forgotten. And what you've done for the Lord, not forgotten. You're going to stand before God and go, "You remember that? You remembered that?" How do you feel when somebody hands you your most favoritest coffee drink? You get in line. I know I like coffee. Forgive me. I'm going to use it as an illustration again. I'm in line to get coffee. I'm sitting in my car. I'm angry at the person in front of me for ordering so much. I'm doing my best self-control not to get out and slash their tires. They're taking so long. I know you don't think that way. I'm working on some things. I know you're way past that. You've been healed. This is my year. I'm going to be healed. You pray for me. And then you pull up to the window and they say, oh, would you like your bulletproof? How do you feel? They remembered who you are and what you drink. Or even better, they just hand it to you and don't say anything because they knew. You're going to stand before God and realize he remembers all the things you did for him. Even a cup of cold water. You did something that seems so insignificant, but he's going to remember. And you're going to go, what? You remembered this? You don't even remember. But he does. And he's going to reward you. So be encouraged. You are significant to him. The second thing I want you to hear today is we are all going to stand before God and go, oh man, I should have done more. I should have done more. So start today looking good on Judgment Day. Don't stand before God and only have one or two pages in your book where you did something for him. Have volumes of what you did for him. And the last thing I want you to hear today is, I know you've got things you don't want brought up on Judgment Day. And you can have them erased and made invisible. You can receive what Jesus did for you when he died on the cross and gave you the opportunity. You have to choose that. You have to choose to receive what Jesus did for you, to enter into that new covenant where your sins are forgotten and not held against you. It's not automatic. Jesus' death and resurrection and the new covenant is not automatic just because you're alive. It only applies to you if you receive Jesus as your Lord and are willing to humble yourself and say, I didn't get it right. Please forgive me. I'm turning the other way. If you're willing to humble yourself like that and receive Jesus, what he did for you, and make him your Lord and Savior, that's who the Bible declares will have their sins forgotten, cast as far as the east is from the west, not held against you, and you won't be treated as your sin deserves. But you have to receive what Jesus did for you. Do you have things that you're hoping God doesn't remember? If you do, you need to receive what Jesus did for you. And you need to repent of those things. You have to repent of your sin. It means to turn, change direction, change thinking. I'm going to stop going this way, and I'm going to go that way instead. I'm with you, Jesus. Why don't you stand with me tonight? This is a bit of an unusual word from one scripture that caused my mind to go berserk about thinking, how is this accomplished and why? Because you're so important to him. You are a treasured possession. You can have your sins forgotten. What an amazing God we serve. There's someone watching right now. They're watching you and they're writing down, is today going to be the day they receive Jesus and have their sins forgotten? They're waiting in anticipation. Is today going to be that day? Those of you that are online, there's someone that's been waiting and waiting. You just happen to be online right now. Maybe you weren't even intending it, but I know I'm talking to you. Today is your day. You can have your sins forgotten. You have not done anything that his blood won't erase. No matter how horrible you think you are, or how much of a bad person you think you are, or what your record of wrongs might be. He can erase all of them, not just some of them. And you can start all over. He's the God of second chances. He wants to be the God who forgets for you. I'm so thankful. I've got so many things he's not going to remember. I can stand here today at peace on the inside, knowing those things that were so shameful and so embarrassing, so horrible, they've been made invisible. I'm going to invite you to receive what Jesus did for you, boldly and unashamedly, being willing to say, I've got some things that I don't want God to remember right now, and I want them forgiven. I want them erased, and I want Jesus to be my Lord. If that's you right now, before God and all those that are writing, would you just lift your hand up so I know who I'm praying for? Yeah, right there. Willing to, right there. I see your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands. I see everybody's hands. Get your hands up. Got things you want forgiven and forgotten. I see your hands. In the back, I see your hands. Yes. It's only for those that are willing to humble themselves. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I'm going to invite you to pray with me right now. I'm going to invite us all to pray. And if you should have lifted your hand, but you didn't, I'm going to lead you in prayer as well. Why don't you bow your head with me and have a private moment between you and the Lord? It's just you and God for just a moment. And the most amazing thing is about to happen to you that could ever happen in your whole life. A book in heaven is going to have an erase mark in it. If you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that you believe what Jesus did for you and he's your Lord, I'm going to invite you to pray right out loud. Say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I receive what Jesus did for me. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for me. He rose from the dead so I could be forgiven and have eternal life. Forgive me of all my sin. I repent and I turn away. I receive your forgiveness. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Come into my life from this moment on. Thank you for loving me and for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap on this Wednesday night? Amazing. 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 He's the amazing God. Would you lift your hands for just a moment? There is many people that needed to hear tonight that you are not forgotten. And the things you've done for the Lord, though man may have forgotten what you did, people you thought should remember, people you were counting on to remember, somehow they didn't, and you've been disappointed. Somehow you feel like maybe it was lost. I'm here to tell you right now, you're going to be shocked at what God remembers you did for him. He's the God who remembers. Father, I thank you. Right now, I release encouragement to every person, and those that are online and here, those that are listening in the nursery, in the lobby, in the children's check-in area. You are not forgotten. He's the God who remembers. It's written down for all time. And he's the God who rewards. You will be rewarded. I thank you, God. I pray a release of faith. Release faith in this room. In the realm of serving, obeying, praying, giving, sowing. In Jesus' name.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.